Blessing to be together this morning again. Thank you for sharing that this morning, Joel. I think if we lose that central point that you were trying to make, we'll lose our walk with the Lord, and a lot of things are going to go awry. Won't turn out right. Why don't we kneel together for prayer before we get started? Lord, we are kneeling before you this morning in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for your great love to us. We thank you for how you have washed our sins away and made us new through the blood of Christ. You've washed our sins away and you've filled us with your Spirit. And God, you've given us the privilege to be here on the earth, and you want us to be this bright, shining light. But Lord, in the middle of this journey, in our family relationships, relationships in the brotherhood, relationships with the people that we rub shoulders with at work, we face situations that are difficult and hard. And God, you've given us this guidance, Lord, in regards to forgiveness. And Lord, as we look at the subject this morning, we ask, Lord, that you would somehow help us to understand it with our heart. We ask, Lord, that you would give us instruction and help us, Lord, that you'd help us to be at a place where we can have true forgiveness when we face situations that come our way. We know, Lord, the results that come if it's not that way. Lord, I do pray especially that you would be with the ones that are gone in various places. Lord, I pray for the ones in Tanzania. Pray for the ones in Virginia. We ask, Lord, that you would also be with the ones that are gone today, just for temporary, just for the day or weekend traveling. I ask, Lord, for your graces to be there. And Lord, as we're here this morning, I just ask that you would give me clarity of heart and thought, the ability to communicate in a good way that can be a blessing and inspiration to all of us. Thank you. In Christ's name, amen. Wounds of a friend, forgiveness. Sometimes when we speak on subjects, we can have these nice things that we say. But I'd like to share that forgiveness is something that I have had to do many times, and sometimes it's been a struggle for me to forgive. Sometimes it's been a difficulty. Sometimes it's something that I've struggled with, and yet I look at what God wants me to do, and it's at times I found it difficult to release and to let go. I found that difficult in my own heart. So we look at the subject this morning of forgiveness. It's something I think, am I safe to say we all have faced it a bit? Have we all faced it a bit? I have. All of us have faced situations where we've, deep down in our heart, it hurts. Deep down in our heart, we face situations that are very, very difficult. And we know the right thing to do is to forgive and to let go. But it's hard. I want to begin by telling you a little story. Back when I was a young man, I think around 14 years old, I worked on a turkey farm close to Riggersville. Steve, over close to where you live. Every morning I would jump on my bicycle, and I'd ride 3.5 miles, 3 miles, I'm not sure exactly, to this little turkey farm. And there's these turkey houses, and they also graze the turkeys out in range up on the hill. It was pretty steep hills. And they had these corn rows, and in between there's strips, and we would put fence along the corn, and these turkeys would graze on the hillside. And the way we'd feed them, there's these large feeders. And so there's a local feed mill from Baltic that would bring the feed, and we would walk out beside the through the field. We'd open the top of the feeder, and they'd fill up the feeder, and there's all of these feeders, these large feeders. There's thousands of turkeys, and we fill these feeders. And these feed trucks that would come, there's various drivers that would come, but it was sort of us that worked there at the turkey farm. We had our favorite driver. His name was David. He was very nice. He was easygoing. We loved him. He regularly come out, and he was our favorite. You know, he knew us, we knew him. So back and forth. And we didn't know him on a very deep level, and yet we were friends. We were friends. Now, some time went on. I quit working there, and about 10 years later, I was talking with one of the men that I work with there at the time, and somehow we got on the subject of our friend David, who would come out regularly on the feed truck to fill these feeders for the turkeys. And I asked him if he's seen David recently, and he said, "Do you hear what happened to him?" And I said, "No." He said, "It's awful." He said, him and his wife, there's a situation that happened. She started running off with some men. And there's a man that she became friends with. And this went on for some time. And this thing, you know, became a, you know how those situations go. But he became quite bitter about it. And one night, he went to this other man, and he went after him with a softball bat. And he said, "There's something that's happened." He said, it's been a couple of years now, but he said, "David is in horrible shape." He said he was in jail for a while, and he's out now. He's on heavy medication. He's a zombie. He can't even hold a job. He's in bad shape. There's bitterness in that man's heart because of how deeply he got wounded by what his wife did that drove him to a place that I'm sure he never thought he would ever go. Deep bitterness. Bitterness, deep bitterness. When we face difficulties, when there's people that hurt us, I've gotten hurt by men that aren't close to me. When there's men that are further away from me, you know, we can easier sort of get over it. It's easier for us to get over it. But when someone that is very close to us hurts us, some of those things go very, very deep in our heart. They're very, very deep. And there's times that they're very, very difficult to come to a place where we really forgive, where we let go. I've had that. I faced that. The wounds of a friend. It's easy. It's quite easy to forgive a person who has wronged me that is not part of a church or a close friend. Sometimes we feel betrayed by a close friend. We feel stabbed in the back. Friends in whom we had a lot of confidence have made unkind remarks. Or the situations that come up where something happens and we feel like we should be included. Or my friends, or my friend treats others better than they do me for whatever reason. Sometimes we feel hurt because it feels like our friend is drawing away from us. How many times to find forgiveness in our heart, it's easier if the other person acknowledges it, but it's hard if they don't see it or acknowledge it. It's very difficult if a friend, whether it's a sibling, whether it's a parent, whether it's a spouse, or a brother in church, hurts us very, very deeply. Sometimes it's very, very difficult to let go. I like to look at some of the symptoms. I just put on here some of the symptoms of unforgiveness. Now, if I say symptoms, I don't know that this is all inclusive. But many times when there's unforgiveness in our heart, we don't see it. Many times when there's bitterness or unforgiveness in our heart, others might see it, but I myself often don't see this root that's in my heart. But I just want to mention some of the symptoms of unforgiveness. And one of the symptoms is being uncomfortable in this person's presence. It's hard to look them in the eye. There's no joy. There's bitterness and resentment. Unforgiveness leads to bitterness, a deep-seated resentment toward the person who caused the hurt. This can manifest as a constant replay of the offense in one's mind. A resentment we tend to replay the situations in our mind over and over. It's a little symptom that we haven't let go. Here's another one, a self-focus. When we have unforgiveness, here's some of the symptoms. A self-focus. Unforgiveness leads to a self-centered focus where the individual is consumed by their own pain and perceived injustice. A person becomes focused on the offense and their own feelings rather than seeking reconciliation or extending grace. Here's another symptom. There's often a relational strain. Unforgiveness can damage relationships, leading to the alienation and isolation from others. It can create conflict and division, as the unforgiving person may withhold forgiveness, love, and acceptance. Here's another one. Unforgiveness creates a barrier between an individual and God, hindering spiritual growth and unanswered prayers. It also leads to a hardening of the heart and a decreased sensitivity to the Spirit of God. Then I've just written more that I just, little statements here. Symptoms. Reliving the offense. Negative thoughts and feelings toward this person. Avoidance, quietly seeking revenge, and we wouldn't call it revenge, but sort of happy when things go wrong with that other person. Repeatedly bringing up the past, unwillingness to reconnect, emotional distance, lack of empathy, holding grudges, negative impact on relationships, inability to let go. Blame is an indicator of unforgiveness. And that's not all inclusive. But many times when I have unforgiveness in my own heart, I don't see it. I experience a pain. There's difficulty, but I don't see it as unforgiveness. I don't see it as bitterness. I don't see it myself. Many times we don't see it. Unforgiveness is bitterness. It's very interesting. If you go through Scripture, there's nowhere in Scripture that the word unforgiveness is even used. Isn't that interesting? Nowhere in Scripture is the word unforgiveness even used. There's another term that's used. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. There is another term that's used. Hebrews chapter 12. If you want to turn there with me. Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to start in reading verse 13. And make straight path for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. But let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. So bitterness is the word that's used. The word unforgiveness isn't even in the New Testament. But this depicts unforgiveness. Follow peace with all men and holiness. There's a root of bitterness that comes when there's unforgiveness. One thing that happens when there's unforgiveness is unforgiveness or bitterness is contagious. Now, who can tell me what it means if there's a flu bug that's contagious? Can you help me with that? Others get it. Others get it. Just on Wednesday or Tuesday, this past Tuesday evening, we had a picnic. One of the families said they can't come because their family has hand, foot, and mouth, or their children do, and they don't want to come and spread it. What do you think would have happened if they would have come and their children, there's a lot of other children there, what do you think would have happened? It would have spread to other children. Now listen, look at this. Here it says, verse 15, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. So can you help me understand if this bitterness, this unforgiveness is in the heart, how does it spread to others? Help me understand that. How does that happen? By sharing with others the bitterness. We share our bitterness with other people. And then what do other people do with it? They pick up an offense. At who? The person that I'm bitter at. And when that bitterness is voiced, it comes out, others grab a hold of it. Why is that? Can anyone, why do others grab a hold of that? Why are others defiled by that when those things are shared? Why is that? Why do others grab a hold of that? There you go. It feeds the carnal man. Now, I like to just share that I endeavor to be dead to self. I reckon myself to be dead to self and sin. But sometimes, I'm just going to say, my flesh sometimes is stirred a bit. Honestly, my flesh is sometimes stirred a bit. And sometimes when I hear something that is intriguing to my flesh, okay, I fail sometimes. And according to this, there's others that get defiled. And what happens is, when there's offenses, when there's unforgiveness in someone's heart, when there's unforgiveness in someone's heart that gets talked about, those hurts get talked about, those things get dialogued about with others, and then all of a sudden there's others that realize this horrible thing that someone else did. Might be a family member. It might be my wife. Maybe I go around and, you know, I got hurt by my wife, and then I share with others about my wife. And others realize what a bad woman my wife is. You all know she's not a bad woman, right? She's a wonderful lady. But right, you know, you understand that? Okay, bitterness defiles other people. Bitterness defiles because the mouth is open and it speaks to other people. Looking diligently lest any man, and it says diligently, look diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. I have another heading here. Should I forgive based on my friend's level of repentance or change? Now, as I mentioned earlier, if someone hurts me, and they come to me and they say, Mark, I'm sorry I hurt you. It makes it easy for me to forgive, right? Or maybe they don't even know I hurt them. Maybe they don't even know that they hurt me. But there's a deep offense in my heart. Do I have a responsibility to go and correct that? Or do I just forgive? Okay, do you follow what I mean? Sometimes I have picked up an offense. Sometimes someone has hurt me very deeply. And as I watch them, I realize they have no idea what they've done. So do I just forgive them? Or do I go and try to make this right between us? He has no idea. I like to look at two different things. In Mark chapter 11, verse 25, it says this, and when ye stand praying, forgive. If any have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive your trespass. So forgiveness ought to be, forgiveness itself shouldn't have anything to do with whether it gets reconciled or not. There ought to be a forgiveness that we extend to this other person. There ought to be a releasing that gets put out. This is what it says. When you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive your trespass. So, I'd like to suggest that first of all, there ought to be forgiveness without any strings attached. Whether they realize it, whether they come back, whether they try to clear it, with no strings attached, there ought to be a forgiveness. Matthew 18 says this, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. And if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother." And then it goes on. According to this verse, there is a time to also go and talk to the other party. There's a time for that. But our forgiveness should not be based on whether we go and talk with him or not. There ought to be an ability to forgive. Sometimes we have a struggle and there's a need to have that conversation. And I like to suggest that if a person has sinned, and there is actually a sinning against me, where there is a sin, there is a need to bring it to their attention. There is a need for that. But I'd like to say that at the very core of forgiveness, God wants us to be able to forgive, to be able to let go, to be able to free someone. So, there is a time to just forgive, and then there's also a time that we go back. There is a time for both. Sometimes a person, I've had a situation where someone came and said, "Well, do you feel like I need to go back? This person did this. They have no idea that they did it. They have no idea that they did it. I do feel like I can forgive and let go, and I can be fine." And I believe there's a place for that. I believe there's a place where we just can let go and just. But then there's times when things are so deep. There is a time when there was an actual sinning. There is a time to go talk. And Matthew 18 gives guidance to that. I'd like for us to consider how big that the gap is between God's forgiveness to us and our forgiveness to someone else. So let's just say there's a situation where, like I just mentioned here earlier about this man who steps out and commits adultery with another man. That's a very, very deep, deep sin. And she was sinning against God, and she was also sinning against her husband. And what that man went through to try to forgive, I haven't heard from him for a long time now. I don't know where he is. But what he went through in forgiveness or bitterness, what he went through is a big thing. But I'd like to just take that situation and compare that to what God has forgiven us with. To what God has forgiven us with. Now, if we would take money and we would do a little comparison as to the value of different things, if I would say that the value of what that woman did, that sin was worth about $100, the value of that, and then if there's someone else, my wife or my son or my daughter or someone was just rude to me and they backed away from their friendship with me, where would you put that in comparison to that Did I say 100? I just say $100 or $200. $100. How much less offense would that be if someone would just back away from a friendship? You know, would that be maybe 50 or 25 maybe? 25. Okay, so maybe 20. Okay, so if someone just backs away from a friendship and we put a value of that of $25 and then that adultery at $100. Okay? Okay, do you see the difference? Okay, there's a difference in the offense. I'd like for us to consider the gap between what God did for us, or how God forgave us and how we forgive others. Can anyone tell me what the difference is that he tells us in Matthew 18? Anyone? So, in my center column in my Bible, it gives two numbers. It gives two numbers. And the value that it gives between other people wronging me and what I need to forgive, he puts that at $15. And that includes the horrible sin of adultery. It includes horrible, wicked stuff. He puts that at a value of $15. And then this vast thing that how we have sinned against God Almighty, and how we have gone our own way, and how we have sinned against Him, He puts that at $9.25 million. So do you see the gap? Evering on this level, everything that I hurt my dad, I hurt my mom, I hurt my siblings, I did something to my worker, everything on this level, he puts at $15, and then our great offense that we have between us and God, he has at $9.25 million. It's unbelievable. That's how vast that gap is. And God looks down and says, oh, come on. Yeah, come on, Steve. You know, get a grip. You know, $15. What's $15 compared to $9.25 million? Right? God knows our frailty. But that is the extent of the gap. It's that big. This level, the offenses on this level are nothing. They're nothing compared to the debt between God and us or not. Now, I want you to turn, I want you to turn to Matthew 18, and we want to just read that scripture a bit, where it shares something, where it shares this. And there's another point that I like to just draw out of that. Matthew 18. We want to start reading in verse 21. Matthew 18 and verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times. Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times. So the question was coming here, how often do I forgive? Now, my wife, she has to put up a lot, with a lot. She has to forgive me a lot more often than I forgive her. But the question that's put out here, how often should I just keep on forgiving? You know, till seven times? No, till 70 times seven. The point that he's making is we need to continue to forgive. Continue to forgive. That's the point. But he goes on there. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which took an account which took account of his servants. When he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents, $9.25 million. But for as much as he had not to pay, the Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down, worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, which is $15. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. His fellow servants fell down at his feet, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but he went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And should we not have compassion on our fellow servant in the way that I had compassion on you? His Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay the debt, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Now, here it gives a picture of unforgiveness. So, I don't know who wants to be my little example here, but Andre, do you want to come up here? So we want to talk about, here is a description, if we have bitterness or unforgiveness in our heart, he describes it this way. You know, he describes it as taking him by the throat, hanging on to him. And, you've got a problem. Why did you do it to me? You know, it's taking him by the neck. And I hold him. I hold him by the neck. And just hold him there. I hang on to him. You know, in this example, this man, he owed $15. And he said, and he came to his Lord and said, would you please forgive me? And his Lord forgave him the $15. Then he turned around. Yes, yeah. Thank you. First it was a $9.25 million. $9.25 million that was owed, and it was all forgiven. All forgiven. And then the man that had owed the $9.25 million turned around and to the next guy who owed only $15, and he took him by the neck, put him in jail. But it gives him, it gives the example of actually holding him by the neck. I would like to suggest that many times there are people who have that bitterness, have the unforgiveness, and we're holding someone by the neck. Forgiveness is when we let go and we set him free. Forgiveness is when we let go. We don't hold it to his account anymore. We don't hold him by the neck anymore. You can go sit down. Thank you. That's a picture that it gives. It says he took him by the neck. Drug him off. Pay me that thou owest. Pay me. Why did you do that? Why did you do that? We hold him. Why did you do that? Why did you ruin me? Why did you hurt my reputation? Why did you destroy me? Okay, take him by the neck. There's an interesting scripture in the book of 1 John, and I don't hear it talked about very much, that I like to look at very briefly. And I have in my heading here this simply heading that says, asking God to forgive my brother. I don't hear that preached or taught or talked about very often, but asking God to forgive my brother. There's a time when someone has done something wrong to me, has hurt me. They did something that has been hurtful. And yet I see that they don't connect with what was going on. And according to this scripture, there's a right place for me to just come before God and say, God, would you please go and forgive my brother? God, would you please come and you forgive him? Would you please do that? And according to this scripture, God will actually go and forgive him. Isn't that wonderful? There's a right place for that. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And this is what it says. If any man see his brother sin a sin, which is not unto death. Now, let me bring you a little bit of clarification. A sin unto death is a sin that comes into the category of Galatians chapter 5, where it says adultery, fornication, and it has that whole list of sins. And then in the end it says, and they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Those are sins unto death. Then there's other sins, like we irritate each other. We do hurtful things in our relationship. And there are things that happen that are not sins unto death. There's, according to the Bible, there's still sins, but they're more minor sins. A sin is a sin, and yet according to Scripture, he puts different weights on different things. There are some sins that are unto death, and there are sins. Now listen to what it says here. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not ask that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin unto death. According to this scripture, when we see a brother, when we see someone committing a sin that's not a sin unto death, it's a right thing for us to pray and just pray, God, would you please forgive him? But Lord, make him sensitive to what he did and what's happening. Lord, would you please forgive him? Would you please do it, Lord? Here's another question. Does God ever bring our old sins back? Does God ever bring? Sometimes, you know, Scripture says that he washes our sins away as far as the east is from the west. It also says that he forgets our sins. But here's a question. Does God ever bring our sins back? Does he? According to Scripture, yes. According to Scripture, yes. In this account in Matthew chapter 18, where this man that was forgiven $9.25 million, and he took his brother by the throat and he said, pay me that thou owest. You know, it's only $15, and he had been forgiven $9.25 million, but he took his brother by the throat. $15. Then, Jesus teaching, he goes on and he says, in the same way, actually, because he didn't forgive, he was cast into jail, into prison, till he pays everything, till he paid the $9.25 million. Jesus used that to say, he went on to say, if you don't forgive other people, God's going to do the same thing to you. According to this scripture, if we don't forgive other people, God will bring all our old sins back upon us. Very, very difficult thought. I have another heading here. Steps to forgiveness. Now, there's times when there's a need to forgive, and it's very, very, very difficult. I have seen men and women on their faces crying and begging God and saying, God, I've tried to forgive. I've tried to forgive. I can't forgive. Lord, help me to forgive. Lord, I have to have your help. I can't forgive. People crying on their faces and begging God because I've tried to and I've tried to, but Lord, I know I'm hanging on to it. How can I forgive? How do I forgive? So I have a couple steps to forgiveness. I want to first look at what the definition is of forgiveness. What does it mean? Here's a couple words that are used in the Greek to describe forgiveness. It means to let go, right? Let go. It means to give up a debt. He owed it to me, and I give up the debt. It means to forgive. It means to remit. It means to give up, to keep no longer. It means to not hinder, to give up a thing to a person. Those are words that are used to describe forgiveness. If we forgive, we let go. We remit. We don't hold on to it anymore. It's no longer on their account. Those are words that are used to describe forgiveness. Now, I have a number of little headings here, and I just put them down as steps to forgive. Steps to forgive. First of all, I have make a decision that by God's help, I will choose to forgive. Make a decision. You will never forgive if you wait until you feel like it. Am I right with that? You'll never forgive if you wait till you feel like it. Choose to obey God and steadfastly resist the devil in his attempts to poison you with bitter thoughts. Make a solid decision to forgive, and God will heal your wounded emotions in due time. Make a solid decision. Mark chapter 6, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive my sins the way I forgive my brother. Lord, forgive my sins the way I forgive my brothers. Wow, that's an interesting one. That's a good one, right? So that means we ought to be pretty clear because we want forgiven. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. If ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Wow, praise the Lord. Here's another little heading. Okay, the first one was make a solid decision and choice to forgive. Here's the next one. Depend on God's help to forgive. You cannot do it by yourself. You can't. Am I right? You can't do it by yourself. I mean, just realize you and I are not able to forgive by ourselves. Some of these things are very deeply rooted, very, very deeply rooted in our hearts, and we have to have God's help to let go, God's help to free. You cannot forgive without the power of the Spirit of God. It's too hard to do it on your own. If you're truly willing, God will enable you. But you must humble yourself and cry out to Him for help. In John 20, it gives the example where they ask God, Lord, give us of the Spirit. And then God breathed on them. In that same way, if we call out on God, God, I have to have your help in order to forgive. Give me the ability to forgive. God sends us His Spirit, and we are able to forgive. Here's another one. Another little heading and steps to forgive. Pray for the person. Pray for the person. This is what Scripture says. Luke chapter 6, verse 27. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies. At this point, is it an enemy? Love your enemies. Then he goes on and says, pray for them. How often, when we are struggling with being able to forgive, do we start praying for the person? We pray for his spiritual well-being. We pray that God would pour His Spirit upon him, His blessing upon him. But I say unto you, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them which curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. You feel very despitefully used. Scripture says we should pray for them. Pray for them. There's something about praying for someone who has hurt us very deeply. God's grace pours into our hearts and helps us to forgive. Here's another one. Bless those who have deeply hurt you. Romans chapter 12 and verse 14 says this: bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Bless them. Now, you feel persecuted by this person. You feel hurt, you feel destroyed, and you feel like there's things, he's horribly wronged you. According to this verse, we ought to be blessing that person. Extend grace and blessing. Pray for this person who has wronged you. Bless this person that has wronged you. There's something that happens in our hearts when we start obeying scriptures. When we start doing what the Bible says, we ought to be praying. We ought to be blessing rather than cursing. Bless them which, Romans 12, 14, bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. In the Greek, that bless means to speak well of. And what do we tend to do? Do we tend to speak well, or do we tend to speak evil? We tend to speak evil. Scripture says we ought to speak well of. If we bless, we speak well of. Wow. Here's another little heading in the steps to forgive is stop talking about it. Did you know the Bible tells us to stop talking about it? Now listen to this. Proverbs 17:9 says, he that covereth a transgression seeketh love. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love. But people who have been deeply wounded, they open their mouth and spewed out on everyone else. And a whole bunch of people, become violated. A whole bunch of people become this bitterness, and they pick up offenses and all kinds of things because our flesh enjoys those things. Proverbs 17:9, he that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. And that tends to happen when there's unforgiveness. When there's bitterness, those things happen. Colossians 3, verse 12 says this, put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, it uses the word quarrel. John, have you ever had a quarrel with someone? I have. I've had a quarrel with people already. And we like to say, oh, I'm sort of offended, or I this or that. But here he uses the word quarrel. It says, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, I've quarreled with people. Now, I'd like to think it was just when I was 6 years old. But truth is, it's not that way. I've quarreled as an adult already. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Here it uses the word forgive. Forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Lord, help us, right? I need God's grace. I do. I have to have God's grace in this area. Trust all of us. I trust myself. We can have an openness. Just consider. Maybe I've picked up offenses. Maybe there are things. God help us. The wounds of a friend go very deep. Lord bless you all.